Welcome to the Elks Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're here for a Sunday strategy session. And this is actually one of the first ones I did a call out in, I think it was earlier in the offseason, right when the group me was able to allow you to have multiple different rooms. And one of the things I wanted to discuss was, like, let's talk about some different strategy ideas, some different, some different things we can I'll be thinking about that maybe you guys are thinking about that I can cover, you know, whether it's in writing, you know, it might give me an idea for some research, or it might give me, some ideas for some podcast stuff, right? So one of the things that I put in there was, you know, just give me some, you know, what questions for future pods, basically. And one of them from John was really good. It was, how do you deal with aging rosters? And by the way, so if you have a question, sometimes they're not entirely pod related. Sometimes we sort of flush them out in there, but there are a running list of pods that I have that I'm going to address some of these things. But how do you deal with aging rosters? Now this is something that we're going to deal with. We're going to deal with it because primarily the wide receivers that we have, right? And I think, you know, we're going to have older wide receivers typically. We're probably going to have, like, less younger ones, right? So we're going to have older by, you know, whatever, your average or maybe your median measurement. Okay, so if you're just at, you know, if you're just taking the total ages, right, or the average ages, right, they're going to be older probably than your league average. And then, you know, we're not going to be rostering as many of them. So in both the average or the median or the mean, you know, whatever sort of you want to look at, we're probably going to be older there, and we're probably going to be older in we're probably just going to have less total because we're going to have less wide receivers. We're going to have less younger ones, right? Just numerically, we're going to have less because of our roster constructions. So stuff we're going to have to address, right? Those are going to be things we have to do. As I'm doing strategy, as I'm doing different things, I always have this question of, am I right or am I wrong? You know, and if I'm wrong, sort of what's the consequence of being wrong? And, like, you know, where I have these things to be like, well, what if I'm totally wrong on this? And one of the things I always think about is, like, what would be the case if I was totally wrong on wide receiver value, right? That we should be valuing young, unproven guys because, you know, they are safer, right? Or whatever, right? I always think about, like, all right, well, how much is that going to cost me is really the ultimate question, right? Like, what's it going to cost me if I'm wrong on this bet? And it's always been, you know, lesser in production than we would otherwise think, right? So I'm not super sort of worried about being older because I am, it's going to be more productive, right? One of the things that you see is two guys at an equal cost, right? One who hasn't done it, one who has done it, right? The one who has done it is more likely to, at the same cost, right? If that's wide receiver 20, for example. They're much more likely to do it again. Why? Well, because the person that hasn't done it is a lot of the price that is baked in there, right? Or a lot of his wide receiver ADP 20 is insulation. It's value insulation, right? It's projection. It's all that stuff. So what ends up happening is those guys are just naturally less productive than the guys who have been productive and have produced for a hit at the same cost, right? So I would sort of keep that in mind as a thing of, like, all right, well, do I want to try and keep up with the Joneses on dealing with an old roster, or do I want to sort of bludgeon them with it, right? And so that's kind of the question that I have. I think a lot of this will come down to being at wide receiver because, right, we are not going to, generally speaking, the AOD strategy is going to suggest guys like George Pickens are overvalued. They're going to suggest guys like, you know, we're not going to have a lot of like rookie season Amon-Ra St. Browns, right? It's just not how we're going to do it. So that's kind of one aspect of it, right? We're just not going to sort of be in on those guys because they're low probability bets. I love it when guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown hit because, frankly, they're exciting. Like, I like covering stories like that. I like thinking about stories like that. I like thinking about players, right? I like guys that are – I like underdogs, right? I like watching sports because of underdogs. So those stories are, of course, interesting to me. The problem is we're not going to be in on the ground floor from, you know, on players like that, right, typically, because the base rate's really low, right? So we're typically not making those bets. I think that's probably a lesson, right? That'd be one thing I would think about. Is, you know, kind of be in the business of like buying high, right? That's probably one way to fix this. Okay, so what do I mean by that? Like, there's buying low, right? Which is buying, you know, guys, depressed price. There's all that stuff. Everyone kind of understands that. It's also buying high, which is, you know, you got to be kind of careful on the reason for your buy high. One of the things that you know, recent production, those sorts of things, you know, people will get, look at touchdowns, look at fantasy points scored. Like, that stuff can be highly variable. But what you really can find is, you know, guys that do elite things, guys that, you know, yards per route run, targets per route run, right, have done kind of those elite, metrics, elite target shares and the like. Even when it's necessarily on maybe some smaller sample sizes, but where it's really elite stuff. So I'll give you an example. Amon-Ra St. Brown, rookie season, end of the season, he's like a 30%+ target per route run guy. That's an elite number. He is, but that's without Hockenson. It's without Swift, right? It's kind of the him show. But one of the things that we've learned from is that's really valuable, right? Like, not anyone can go in and do that. Okay. And that's one of the things one of the holes I see in Dynasty a lot is where people will just think that, you know, oh, this person, if given a good opportunity, can step into it. A lot of times that's not true. And the sort of corollary to that, right, the thing that goes along with that is when guy does come in and do really well in a situation that is favorable, but does like elite things when it's favorable, they're like, well, it's just a situation, right? I think that's untrue, right? Like, there's a lot of guys that get opportunities that don't cash them in, right? And that's probably because they're not capable of doing so, right? Or other things there, right? I think when players prove to us that they are capable of doing so, that's a place where we should probably try and buy on the upswing, right? So buying on guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown after first year, The guy this year that I'm thinking of in like bold, bright lights, especially when Aaron Rodgers is traded, is Christian Watson, right? Again, in small sample size, however, elite stuff, especially down the stretch once he got healthy, was doing very elite stuff on a yards per route run basis, on a targets per route run basis, right? There's some really good indicators there, right? So I think one of the ways we can sort of dealing with aging rosters is to be a bit ahead of the curve, right? To make very, informed, right, conscious bets about early career guys, right? Being in on guys like London, being in on guys like Olave, right? I think when you look at those two guys in particular, like, there's some key efficiencies that we're just looking at and we see them and it's like kind of clear as day to us. But it's not necessarily as clear as day to others, right? So, for example, when I put up on Twitter and I discuss, you know, that, hey, look, if you kind of adjusted all these guys and gave them the same routes, you know, just their offenses threw the ball the same amount of times, right? They sort of got the same. They're pretty close in terms of the percentage of route participation, but it's just really the difference between them is, right, how much their offenses threw the ball. You know, if you sort of adjusted for that, you know, what do their numbers look like? And you see guys like Olave and London way down the board as compared to a guy like Garrett Wilson, who his aggregate numbers were better, right? His stat line numbers were better, his box score numbers were better. But a lot of it was that he just ran like 150 more routes than the other two, right? That's a big difference. So I think being attuned to those things early, right? Seeing sort of those elite markers, the elite metrics early, those things can be really, really valuable and kind of getting ahead and then buying on, you know, quote, buying high on them, right? That's not to say I need to pay wide receiver, you know, seven price for them. But if you get a spot where, you know, this person's kind of in or out, like in the mid-teens, like that should be a buy situation in the teens, right? The other thing too is I think you got to be careful about kind of your middle tier wide receivers, right? Remember when I talked in the wide receiver tiers? Go back and check it. They're kind of like the middle-aged guys without elite ceiling. Right? Be careful of that tier, right? Don't get kind of caught in that trap of these guys are, you know, they're kind of mid-career, right? 25, 26, you know, or 26, 27, somewhere in that range, 28. But they don't really have elite ceiling. And what you're really doing is kind of insulating and capturing against the floor. Like, get the hell out of that business, right? If you want to sort of get young, reset from that business, right? Guys probably aren't going to kill you. If something happens to them, that production can be replaced for a lot cheaper, right? If it's not elite production, right? You can trade DK Metcalf. You can add to DK Metcalf. You can get a guy like Chris Olave. And even if Chris Olave doesn't work out, you can go 5, 6, 7, 8 rounds later and take a guy like Tyler Lockett, or, you know, pay a cost like that for Tyler Lockett, and he's probably going to pace DK Metcalf, you know, in the meantime. But you can probably sort of plug that gap, right? Those are things that I really think about doing, right? So, A, kind of being on the upswing guys before other guys are. So that's London, Olave. That's our elite wide receiver trajectory, young trajectory tier. That's that tier. Okay, so kind of be in on them. And if it costs you a little bit more to, like, you pay from some depth at some running back, you know, you upgrade at wide receiver, you go middle age to young at wide receiver by upgrading, but you pay that in picks that aren't consequential, right? You kind of do those things, right? Nickel and dime those things. That's a good move, right? That would be kind of a way that I deal with some aging stuff. You're not going to be able to trade. A lot of times you're not going to be able to trade like Keenan Allen for, you know, Chris Olave, right? Those trades aren't. But if it's DK Metcalf, if it's someone like that, right, you're getting younger, you're probably getting more elite profile. Like, you're sort of doing, you're accomplishing that. And I think that can be really helpful as a construct, right? So being in on those guys and kind of paying for them, right, I think makes a lot of sense. All right, so that's kind of your how do you deal with this at, like, your wide receiver position, right? Those would be some things. Again, I wouldn't maybe get necessarily too worried about it, right? If I'm trying to, you know, if I can't really get younger, right, I think you can consistently find guys that, you know, are on the downswing of their career arc, but can get you, they can get you production, right? And if you're going to try and, like, that's okay to do, right? And I'm a fan of doing that, right? You know, being able to pay thirds for Lockett last year where I had a need, right? I paid a third for Thielen, right? If I have some receiver depth charts that aren't necessarily great, they're not this vibrant youth stuff, filled depth charts, kind of just saying, okay, well, I know I'm going to kind of have to, it's a long-term problem I'm going to have. It's kind of a 2-year window, right? 2 months, 2 weeks, 2 years, or 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, right? That's kind of a 2-year problem, right? I'm kind of looking right now, if I'm thinking, you know, for the season, I'm kind of looking in the midterm range right now, 2 weeks, 2 months, those types of solutions, you can fix them with some older guys. Right, you can just backfill with older guys. And again, that's not to say you want like 7 Tyler Lockett profiles on your roster, but if you've got like 3 or 4 of them, like those type of, you know, older career wide receivers, or maybe, you know, they're on the backside of their prime but still capable of giving you like top 24 production, those types of players, right? They can, yeah, if you have 4 or 5 of them, they can definitely, you know, protect your floor, right? They can definitely protect your ability in the near term to compete, and looking kind of in the long term towards the youth fueled wide receiver core, something like that, right? That can be kind of the longer term view. Okay, that's kind of the way that I do it. Again, right, let's address kind of the most immediate problem, let's get our score, let's get our production, and then the longer term view can be some of those how do we hunt out and find those depressed price guys. I also think, like, when you get a chance, especially wide receiver, when you get a chance to buy low on guys, right, do it. right? Like be into taking those swings. Again, guys that start slow at wide receiver, but you start hot at running back with one of your depth guys, something like that. You know, Brian Robinson takes off at the start of the season. And, you know, the first couple games from a guy like Christian Watson are really bad, right? That price might get pretty close. And so you say, okay, I can take that swing, right? I'm trading from a running back to what I think is an elite potential wide receiver. And I'm doing so, you know, kind of at the downside of a guy like Watson and at the height of a running back. I'm just using Brian Robinson as an example, but like that type of player, right? Those sorts of things, right? Constantly sort of doing those, right? And being kind of aggressive about it. If you have running backs, you can almost always trade them for some wide receiver. Again, it might not be an elite wide receiver, but you can almost always trade him for a wide receiver that isn't performing well and that you think, you know, has some better trajectory than they're currently going on. So that's kind of the other thing that I think about is if I'm not going to, if I don't have it in the immediate term, right, kind of thinking, okay, once the season starts, right, those are times I can kind of make those trades to try and get a little bit younger, right? I may be buying some depressed price guys that from the cost of players that I don't think are necessarily going to hurt me if I lose them, right? So that's kind of the way that I think about those, right? Constantly sort of being on that. Understand as well, in the offseason, our rosters aren't necessarily built to make trades for, you know, elite young guys right now. It's not really how we build our rosters, right? What do? We build around premium positions and premium players. So what's that mean? We've got really good quarterbacks typically, and tight end premium, we got really good tight ends, and you have to sacrifice some things. So some of the things you have to sacrifice is like wide receiver age. Some of the things you have to sacrifice is running back youth, right? So you're going to be kind of playing in those, right? That's kind of what you're going to have to be doing. And that forces you to kind of be good at that, right? Yeah, I always think about this, right? The Rams, never, you know, for a while, right? Since the Goff, they haven't spent a first-round pick. Well, they haven't drafted in the first round. You know, that's going to hurt them in terms of some of their longer-term stuff. But what's it also allow them to do? Like, they actually draft a ton of guys because they're drafting, you know, second or really in the third through seventh rounds, right? They're able to spend more time there. And to the extent that you can get better at doing that, again, we can question about how much you can actually get better at drafting than the market, right? But if you're spending a lot more time there than other people are, there's going to be stuff you'll be able to learn. There'll be stuff you'll be able to pick up, right? There'll be edges you'll be able to find and exploit where other people aren't looking for it, right? That's kind of like us. We're going to major a little bit more in kind of the, you know, the young guys that it's, you know, there's some questions about them, but they have some elite tendencies early in their career, right? We're going to sort of major in those guys, and we're going to major in, you know, innings eaters, right? That's kind of where we're going to live, and we can be really good at those, right? Kind of focus on those, you know, lean into those as being strengths and build on that, right? And just kind of know that that's going to consistently be how we're going to build out our team. So that's kind of some different thoughts there. Okay. So that's kind of how I think about it. Again, I think a lot of this is going to come from wide receiver, at least. That's the one thing that I consistently look at. I'm like, am I doing this wrong? You know, ROI says I'm doing it pretty right, right? ROI on a lot of people that send them in. At the end of the season, we do kind of our report cards on our team. You know, how do we do, right? We profitable, those sorts of things. Right. Those are, we're generally pretty profitable. So that gives me an indication that, we're probably heading in the right direction, right? The numbers tell us we're heading in the right direction and the prices say that we're heading, you know, the profiles tell us we're in the right direction and our profits tell us we're going in the right direction. So I feel pretty confident that we're doing it in the right way, but we do have to be mindful of like some of the limitations that it's going to have for us in the 2-year window. So that's kind of that. The other thing I would say is like, how do you build out depth, right? How do you build out some youth, where maybe you don't have it? Man, I'd rather take two swings than one. Okay. That's something I'm become much, 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 more focused on doing. Okay. Early on in my career, I used to be very, very in on specific players, right? I used to really like, I used to pick favorites, right? Rager was my favorite wide receiver, right, in that class. And I was like in on him. And I spent, like, I think more picks on him than any of the other first rounders in that class. You know, I was really in on Jonathan Taylor, and that one worked out, right? But I was in on Trey Sermon. That didn't work out, right? I was in on, Tyrann Davis-Price. Like, it was cheap enough. It hasn't worked out to date. But that one wasn't really so costly. But you kind of look at some of the guys, like, in the first round where I've been, like, in on specific players because I really like their profiles. The mistake that I made, right, and the thing that even the Jonathan Taylor one, by the way, even that one, if you had arbed down and just said, okay, I'm going to take two shots instead of one, okay, that was probably going to put you in the position of taking, like, it might have even gotten more than this, by the way, but you could have been in the position to have said, all right, I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to take the last first round wide receiver of the tier, right? And that tier that we had that year was Rager, Judy, Lamb, and Jefferson. I'm going to take the last one, and I'm going to take the last for top 10 quarterback. Okay. So instead of picking a favorite at the top of the board, I'm going to sort of finagle my way. So that way I'm trading down and I'm taking two of those shots instead of one. The reason I'm taking two of those shots is because we know historically the order of those, that those guys go off the board, the order first round wide receivers go off the board, isn't predictive of future success. The order that they go off the board in the NFL draft is also not predictive of future success. So what does that mean? We are just kind of leaning into our the data, which suggests, you know, picking favorites is very difficult. We know that in the NFL. We know that in Dynasty. Okay. And I'm just going to say, you know, two's greater than one. Right? My odds of hitting twice, my odds of hitting once if I'm picking twice is really good. Okay. That's not to say you trade, you know, 103 for 5/3. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you might trade 103. This is a really good example of it, this class, too. Again, let's just put a couple of numbers on it. We get one first-round running back. It's Bijan Robinson. But we get four top 10 quarterbacks, let's just say, and we get four first-round wide receivers, which we all like pretty closely, okay? JSN's probably going to be the one that I would suggest is the best wide receiver in this class, but I'm not super enthusiastic about taking him as the first wide receiver off the board, right? But if I see, you know, if there's four guys in the first round, I might be much more apt to say, okay, I'm going to take the last one, and I'm going to, you know, instead of drafting at 103, I'm going to say, okay, like, I think there's probably a tier break, right? This the first round wide receivers and the top 10 quarterbacks are going to probably dry up somewhere in the, let's say, the 110 range. Okay, let's just use 110 as an example. So I'm sitting at 103, right? How do I pick, instead of once at 103, how do I pick twice before 110, right? That's what I'm thinking. More and more what I'm thinking. Because me getting right at 103, a lot harder than me picking twice and getting right on at least one of those picks in the top 10, especially with those profiles very similar. Right. So that's one thing. That's another thing I really kind of harp on, stress, right? Prioritizing profiles over players. That's, I think, a really, really big one. You can do that with existing players. You can do that with rookie picks as well, too. So I'll give you an example. A couple years ago, I traded, I want to say it was like a late first, and I moved back a couple of spots and I said, you know, I need to add some wide receiver depth. Like, again, I don't necessarily know who it's going to be, but, I need to move down, and I know I moved down a couple of spots, and the price to move down was Kadarius Toney. Okay, and it was like a couple of picks, right? It wasn't a huge deal. But I was going to stay in the same tier, same group of guys, and I was just, you know, as a consequence of the trade, right, the price that I got to move down was Kadarius Toney. What did that do? Well, instead of taking a shot on one first-round wide receiver, I took a shot on two. Okay, I took a shot on Kadarius Toney, who I think it was coming out of his rookie season that I did it. You know, and it was, again, it was a couple of spots. It was keeping me in the same tier. But instead of taking one shot, I took two. Okay, that's something I think to really think about. So that's, you know, those are tactics I really like to use. So again, understanding kind of profiles, understanding your base rates, understanding your profiles, and then, you know, really harnessing them and saying, okay, what I need is multiple shots to take, and I'm not necessarily going to pick that many favorites, but I'm going to try and really pick, take the multiple shots if I can. Okay. So that's one thing. The other thing too is, you know, can I arbitrage some existing players to create some flexibility? You know, one of my best trades I've ever really done was I traded DeAndre Hopkins for Keenan Allen, Jameis Winston, and I think it was Darrington Evans. It was another backup running back. It was Darrington Evans. And I wrote about this in the book. And the key to it really was like, all right, I think the receivers don't belong, you know, 20 spots different in ADP, which is what they were about at that time. And I need to get, and this was like this was the first year he was going to New Orleans as a potential starter. I said, I need some quarterback help, and I just want to sort of take a shot on a running back, right? I'm just taking a shot on a base rate. Again, I probably would have taken Evans well under his base rate that year, but that's just, I'm taking the shot on the base rate, right? Kind of understanding base rate. I'm going to take a shot on it and see what happens. And that kind of allowed me to really kind of flesh out my core at quarterback. Again, I detailed this in the book of how I ultimately went through that. But I just kept kind of moving. I just kept moving pieces. I kept needing to move around a little bit. And ultimately, Jameis, instead of becoming part of a solution, right, and becoming like a guy I really depended on, I was able to use him as a trade asset in another trade. But I just sort of kept moving in the direction of like, I need more quarterbacks, need more quarterbacks, need more quarterbacks. And then ultimately, like, Jameis was part of that approach. And I just kept making that approach. And then Jameis became expendable because of the success of the approach, right? So kind of adding, you know, in trades, right, where you can arbitrage two guys that trade at a very different price. Again, I think it's much easier to do this when you're going sort of mid-career to old, or going old to old, right? It's a lot tougher to go old to young in sort of that arbitrage, right? You almost have to stay the same age or get older to do that type of trade. But using that type of trade and then saying, okay, I'm really going to arbitrage these two guys. I think their targets are similar, but I'm going to take a profit, right? Maybe I'm taking a depth player. I'm taking a shot on a depth running back. I'm taking a shot on a depth wide receiver. I'm taking a shot on a guy that I like some ceiling on, right? That's going to help my roster construction. You know, maybe that they've got some depressed price stuff. Like, those are the types of bets I want to make. And that gives me, again, multiple outs to win the deal, especially when I don't think my downgrade is that big on the top players, right? So when I'm trading, you know, wide receiver A for wide receiver B plus a bunch of other things, when I think wide receiver A, who I'm trading away, is about the same as wide receiver B, even though the market's treating him vastly different, like that's one where I think he can be particularly lucrative. So eyeing those opportunities, right, can really sort of extract some prices, give you some roster flexibility, and continue to help you. So that's really that. Additionally, I think turning, you know, players in the back end of your roster in a liquid picks can really help you. And there's some debate about this, right? I always like to be, the way I kind of view trading is, I always want to be in a position to be able to make a trade for a player if they become available, right? So I always want to be able to have the assets to put together a trade for an elite quarterback if for some reason they become available, if for some reason they become, you know, depressed in price, right? If when Dak Prescott gets hurt, okay, when Kyler Murray gets hurt, right? When Deshaun Watson goes through his stuff, right? I always want to have the assets to make those deals, okay? I always use that as a quarterback example because that's kind of how I'm thinking about it. But the same is true at other positions, right? When wide receivers get injured, when other players are depressed in price, right? I always want to have the flexibility to do that. Well, how do I do that? Yeah. If we get an injury away running back who's, you know, we have a bunch of them and he pops off, right? Getting a future second for him and cashing him in, that can help us at some point down the line address, you know, address the need of a, you know, to get younger at a different position. Right. So if, you know, I just sort of think about that, you know, if you trade a future second and then all of a sudden Christian Watson starts really poorly, you know, I still like Christian Watson, even if he starts poorly, that's more the opportunity to get him than anything else. Right. So that's kind of the thing I'd think about. You know, can I have the liquid picks? Can I turn, you know, non-core assets, non-contributing assets, right? More the partial contributors. Can I turn those guys into pick flexibility that can really, that I can really use to address some longer term solutions, right? If I can't trade them for longer term solutions, can I turn them into picks that will ultimately be able to put in a deal to get some longer term solutions? So kind of always thinking that way, right? So a little bit of a combination there in terms of how I'm thinking about that. So again, liquid, you know, getting liquid on players, you know, trading down, those are some things in there. Again, betting profiles, right? Just continue to kind of bet profiles, I think does make a lot of sense. If you look in the book, like I have some different techniques for different positions, about kind of how I did this, right? You know, running back, it's the best solution to running back is to, deal with it in volume, right? That's always the easiest solution. Right. So if you're thinking about it, you know, how optimized is your back end of your roster? Right. That's always front of mind. Right. If I have problems at running back, like I just need more volume. Right. That's a volume solution problem. Wide receiver, the solution to your problem is to get more targets. Right. That's that. Tight end. The question is like, do you want to be young? Right. The only reason you want to be young is because they have elite upside. So like, be careful on doing that. Right. If they don't have elite upside, like you don't need to be in on a guy like Cole Kmet because he's in his early to mid 20s, right? Who cares if he doesn't make a difference, right? Like that's a spot where so many guys are replaceable. Chasing a younger roster is probably wrong. Where if you say, all right, I think Greg Dulcich actually has some elite ceiling, you know, that's kind of that example of like, all right, be in on him, you know, before he's elite priced, right? That's the different bet, right? Don't be in on Cole Kmet because you know he's young for the sake of being young, but say, okay, at a very similar price, at a very similar range where I'm not going to get hurt by missing, let's take the elite swing on a guy like Greg Dulcich, right? Those sorts of deals, okay? And again, each position is different. I think the nature of each position is different. You know, so that's it. Ultimately, I guess to say, to kind of put a wrap on this, right? You know, again, if you have questions about specific positions, like go ahead and look at the fixing positions, you know, the fixing your issues chapter of the Dynasty Team Building Guide, right? That will give you kind of your ideas. There's a lot of theory in there, a lot of tactics in the like there. So go check that out whenever you have a problem. Like that's supposed to be evergreen content for you. When, you know, if you're concerned about getting older, right, keep in mind, are you in possession of premium players at premium positions? And if the answer to the question is yes, you're fine. Okay. Age isn't a concern for you, right? You're doing a good job. Okay. Even if it's like, man, my average age of wide receiver is like 29 and a half. You know what? You'll be able to fix it in the long term. Like if you actually have that, like if it's actually a problem, we'll be able to address it by using the tactics we sort of talked about in here. But in the intermediate term, like you can patch that hole, like you can patch the holes, you can fix it, you can figure it out, and you're going to be more productive than guys rostering, you know, younger players, especially when they're at the same price, right? So that's kind of the thing that I would think about there, right? Is it, you know, do you want to be younger? Is it at the same, you know, is it better to be younger than older? Sure. But it's better to be more productive than non-productive. And so you got to be sort of careful on that, you know, on that balance, right? You know, do you want George Pickens because he's young and quote elite upside, or do you want like, you know, someone that's his age that's more productive than him, or his price that's more productive than him? Like, I always want to lean towards being more productive guy, right? That's where I always want to lean. So that's kind of the angle there. So again, kind of be always, you know, be a little bit ahead of the curve on being aggressive on guys that have elite ceiling that aren't elite priced. And then, you know, buy, you know, be aggressive on buying guys when you get the opportunity, when they become available, and, you know, continue to kind of use your roster optimization strategies, and I think you'll ultimately be fine. So it is a question to have, right? It's always something to kind of keep in mind, but it's more of a two-year solution, right? How do I kind of fix this over the long term than it is necessarily worrying about it like on a day-to-day basis, okay? So I hope that helps and kind of thinking about that. Again, kind of flesh out some more of these strategy things. This time, this can get to be a time of the year where we get a lot more strategy. We can think a lot more strategically. So I'm hoping to flesh out more of these topics. Again, if you have questions, if you have topics, you're like, you know, how should we be thinking about this? Put them in the chat, right? It's right in there. You can use that chat function, use that specific room for questions like this, bigger, broader topics, and it can be very, very helpful for me to create content that's answering questions for you. So that'll do it here for this edition. All right, until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.